What is truth? Anybody have an answer? What is truth? The opposite of lies. What are lies? We live in a time, if you turn on the television, it's hard to see what is the truth. We have what we call spin doctors. You know what spin doctors are? They take just a random statement, but then they twist it to a particular bias. And if you turn on the news today, we see, let's say the same situation happens, but it's viewed from two different viewpoints. One side says, oh, this is what happened, while another side says, no, this is what happened. And so you end up somewhere in between, scratching your head, going like, what is the truth? For some of us, the truth is, we're going to stand on the truth until it kind of crosses my railroad track. And then, a little white lie here and there may, help. For example, when Margie goes, hey, what do you think of this color? And I'm like, do you like it? And she's like, yeah, I think so. And I'm like, well, then I love it. And she goes, no, I don't think it really looks good on me. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I was going to say. And then she gets mad. And then I find out that I'm in trouble all the way around. It's, what is truth? Well, the book of John talks about, in the Gospel of John, he talks about Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ is the Word. In his first letter, 1 John, now, he's saying that he is life. Christ equals life. Well, in 2 John, it's a very short letter. Go to 1 John, take a right. It's the next letter, and that's where I'm going to be today. He's saying that Jesus is truth. Jesus is truth. Jesus himself said that. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. In other words, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. These are the things that John describes Jesus as. I think what, truth, a couple things. In Psalm 86, verse 11, it says this, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth and unite my heart to fear your name. Wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Father, teach me your truth. What is your truth? Psalm 51, let me see if I can get the right verse here. Anyway, it has to do with truth. Hang on. I marked it and then just didn't mark the verse. Anyway, it's in there. Just read the Psalms. You can find it. It's truth. Verse 6. Here it is. Bigger than life. I've got it marked. Behold, you delight truth in the inward being. In other words, you delight in truth. Teach me truth. What is truth? Well, again, we find out from the world, truth changes. Truth is kind of fluid. Truth can be, what's true for you may not necessarily be true for me. And so there is no standard in today's world of what is right, what is wrong, what is black, what is white, what is truth, what is lie, what is up, what is down. Everything is just random. So John is writing a letter to a church that he really, really loves. And this church in 2 John, he says this, the elder to the elect lady, he's the elder, to the elect lady, this is the church that he's talking to, and her children whom I love in truth. He's writing this letter to this church and to the people in the church, and he's saying, hey, I love you in truth. I love you in Christ. It's the love of Christ in me, and I love you in truth because you guard the truth. Because the truth is Jesus, and we need to understand this. He says, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. In other words, Jesus abides in us. Jesus will be with us forever. Jesus is the truth. If we don't have Jesus, we don't have the truth. We don't have Jesus, we're living a lie. We think, this is all there is. Or, I should do whatever I can to get to the top, because it's whoever gets to the top wins, because you can't take it with you. If you believe by the world, then you believe the world's lies. The temptations of the flesh, of our spirit, of our minds, and things that you think look good. I see Sue here today, and I always think of Bill often. Bill had a saying, and I can't really say it the way Bill said it from the pulpit, but I'll try to give you the best picture that I can. Some people would come into the studio, and they would, you know, just add all kinds of stuff and all kinds of stuff and all kinds of stuff, and they said, "What do you think? What do you think?" And Bill would just kind of pull on his mustache, and he would say, "You know, you could take a..." I don't know what a good word for that is. You know what I'm talking about. Poop. I says, okay, you can take poop, but if you polish it and make it look really, really good, you still have poop. Well, Bill told it more colorful than that, but the idea was, I'm going to tell you the truth. In other words, I want you to hear the truth, and sometimes we don't want to hear what the truth is. You know, the scripture talks about the truth of God, how God hates lies. God is a God of truth. He's a God of righteousness. He's a God of holiness. John says, I love you in the truth. I love you because you know the truth. I love you because the truth abides in us. Jesus abides in us and will be with us forever. Then he says this, grace and mercy and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and in love. Jesus is the truth. So as we enter into this crazy political time, as we enter into this time where people are fighting whether we should wear a mask, not wear a mask, and I say some of you look even better in a mask. I'm just going to throw that out there. But the idea is we just want to fight and throw out our opinions with no truth, and certainly not truth and love. Not truth and love. Those two go together. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God is love. It's truth and love. We tell our kids sometimes in punishing them, and you know, the saying used to be, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And I'm sitting there going like, yeah, as my mom holds this big old switch about to tear me up, you know? It's like, yeah, I'm sure that's hurting you, Mom. But as a parent, I know what she means. We correct our children because we love our children. Paul, you ran out in the middle of the street. Are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. No, you aren't now. And then she would beat into you the idea that don't go running into the street. We do that out of love. God corrects us out of love, out of truth and love. Out of truth and love. So what is truth? Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. This is what John is saying. So then he says, we have to practice truth. How do we practice truth? And he goes on and he says this, I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth just as we were commanded by the Father. In other words, when Jesus said, go into the world, I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to teach them what I taught you, and I want you to teach them, and I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is giving this commandment. So John has gone out to this church and he's saying this. He says, just as we were commanded by the Father, and now I ask you, dear lady, to the church, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one that we have had from the beginning, that we what? Love one another. And what is love? This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And this is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. Love God with everything that's in you, and then love others as you love yourself. Walk in love. Walk in truth. We have to practice that. Why do we practice that? Why are we supposed to practice love? Why are we supposed to practice forgiveness? Why are we supposed to practice righteousness and holiness? Because that's what we are called to do. Our mission, if you choose to accept it, is to go into the world and shine the light. Be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. That is the truth. Our feelings on things are going to change daily. They change by the whim. I just share with my son, Alex. Alex was just a typical boy growing up, just always in trouble, doing whatever he wants, you know. I'm going to live forever, so I can jump off the side of a mountain if I want. I mean, he did crazy things. He did crazy things. And as a child, you know, he would say, well, not even as a child. I think maybe as he started to get closer to voting age and he signed up, you know, and he got registered, he was all excited. And, you know, he's like, man, I can't wait, you know, this, and this. And, you know, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, that's okay. And then he goes to work at Ingles. This is one of his first jobs. He's at Ingles, and he's a cashier, and he's loving it. He comes home the very first time he gets his paycheck, and he said, Dad, who is this FICA guy? And I said, well, son, that's the money that you pay so the government can give, you know, that we can support people. You know, there are people that don't have money. There are people that get food stamps. There are people that get, and that money's going into that. He goes, I'm working for these other people? And I said, yeah, in a sense, we all are. You know, we're you know, it's a social thing. He, at that point, he was instant Republican overnight, I think. He just, boom, he goes, there ain't no way they're getting my money. And then from that point on, he's like looking for every tax loophole he can find. And it's like, you know, as a 17, 18-year-old, I'm like, you know, this is crazy. Well, he's doing a lot better money than I am. But the point is, what is the truth? How are we supposed to live? How are we supposed to live in love when we're being told this, and if you don't do this, you're wrong. If you do this, you're wrong. If you don't do this, you're wrong. And we hear these competing voices, and yet Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Do you know the voice of Jesus? How do we hear the voice of Jesus? Does he speak audibly? I mean, I tell you sometimes God sounds like Margie and Sandra to me, you know, because they'll tell me something and it's like, you know what? That's from God because that was something that was on my plate. Getting into God's word. Every time you open God's word, he speaks. He speaks. But in the church today, we have some problems. In the church today, people have come in with different theologies, different ideas of worship, and it becomes Jesus plus whatever else. Jesus plus whatever else. When a church will tell you, yeah, we like the Bible, but this other book too is really, really cool. You need to read that as a supplement to the Bible. You don't need the Bible and another book. You need the Bible. You don't need the Bible and you know, a bunch of stones that you can hold, you know? Oh, I feel the power, you know? You don't need that. You need the Bible. You need God's word. So what is John saying in the rest of this letter? He's saying you've got to protect the truth. You've got to protect the truth. This is what he says. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. There are a lot of competing theologies out there that sound wonderful. That sound wonderful. You know, that like, I would love for love to win. And that you can accept God, you know, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he saved you from eternal damnation. Now go and live like you want. Go and do the things you want, because that's just your flesh, and you're no longer flesh. You're this soul, and you're this spirit. So you can do, that sounds good. I can know that I'm eternally saved, but I can still party like heck here on earth, because it's not really me. The real me is, you know, practicing being holy somewhere. It's like, this is a false teaching, y'all. But it sounds good. There are people that say, well, you know, we like what the Bible says, but science, you know, science is really my Bible. Well, it's amazing to me that the things that are in the Bible that these archaeologists, these scientists, all of these people are saying like, oh, yeah, this really happened. Oh, yeah, this really happened. And scientifically, this is how it happened. We don't understand what caused it, but we know that this happened because of what's remaining. And we scratch our heads saying it's there all the time. But people don't want to be held to these rules because it's like, yes, I want to practice being good, but don't tell me about your religion. And Jesus was saying, I didn't come to start a religion. I came to give you life. And I came to give you life abundantly. And I came to show you what it's like in my Father's kingdom. My Father's kingdom is like this. My Father is like this. And so he gave us this perfect picture of God the Father. And he says, if you have seen me, you have seen God. That is the truth. And many people listening to him came to believe in him and to believe in that truth to the point of giving themselves up to death, to being held to the fire and saying, no, I can't recant this because this is the truth. And John is saying, protect the truth. He's encouraging his readers to just resist these false teachers who were distorting the truth. Now, in his day, there were three main groups that were doing this, the Gnostics. Now, the Gnostics had this really weird thing. They, again, almost like Scientology. In other words, once you get in, there's these mystical things that happen, and you will be enlightened. Okay, the Gnostics actually believe that there is this supreme God, and then there's this kind of malevolent God underneath him, which is like the Yahweh in the Bible. You know, the God that would create something but then would destroy a city. A God that would do this but would tell you to get rid of the Ammonites. You know, this malevolent God that was just angry and bitter. But the supreme God had no badness in him. He was just all good. And so there is a God, then there's God, and then there's God, and the only way you get that is when you become enlightened. It's like, you can't even make this up, y'all. The Docetists now, they're coming in. It was a form of Gnosticism, but what they said comes from the word dokeen, which means to seem. In other words, Jesus came, but what we saw is Jesus, he really wasn't a man. He just seemed to be a man. And when he was on the cross, he wasn't really in pain and agony. He just seemed to be in pain and agony. Because you can't kill God. And God, even if he emptied himself of himself, he couldn't become human. So God was never really fully human. He just seemed to be human. Crazy. This was going on in the church back then. Cerinthianism. Cerinthianism stated that Jesus was just a normal guy. He wasn't even born of a virgin. In fact, if you look at the word virgin in the text, it really could mean a young girl or a young maiden. And so they say, he wasn't really born of a virgin because, you know, Mary had all these other kids afterwards, and which really messes up our Catholic friends. But he says, Cerinthia said, you know what? It wasn't until he stood in the water with John and the Holy Spirit came down that he became the Christ. He was just a regular guy. Forget that he was preaching in the temple at 12. Forget that people were saying, like, where did you get this learning? You forget all of that. He wasn't Christ until the Spirit came on him. And then while he was on the cross, when he said, why have you forsaken me? And then he says, it is finished, and he bows his head, the Spirit leaves him because you can't kill God. So that's what Cerinthians said, and it's like we try to adapt the scriptures to fit what we want to say. We try to bend God's word, the truth, into what we want the truth to be. And these people, the Gnostics, the Docetists, the Cerinthians, they they fought tooth and nail to bring these into the church. The Jewish Christians were saying like, yeah, come and worship this new Messiah. Come and worship the Christ, but you got to be circumcised. You know? The church here in today, it's like, you know, what's your politics? Jesus doesn't want to play with your politics. He wants your life. You know, we should be voting kingdom values all the way down the line. What does this person say about this? What does this person say about that? Then you make your best informed decision. Pray about it. God will tell you who to vote for. What is the truth? Even today now, there are neo-Gnosticism going on. Think of the New Age. There's a movement in the church. I guess it really started in the 80s where there was a women's conference in the Methodist Church out in the West, and when they came back, it's like, hey, we want to kind of change up the communion, because communion focuses on the blood and the death. And there's too much blood and death going on in our world. So we want to do this Feast of Sophia, which is basically milk and honey. Can we just do that instead? And it's like, let's see. Jesus says, as often as you do this, you'll remember me, right? Do this in remembrance of me. It's not the milk and the honey that covers us and pays for our sin. It's not the milk and honey that it's sweet. It sounds good. It sounds like, hey, man, let's all sit in a circle and sing Kumbaya, but it's not the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is one truth. Yeah, I wish there were many ways to find God. I wish people could find God this way or that way or this way so that they could come to realize that they are far from him and they would fall in love with him. But Jesus was explicit. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And Christ, if you look at the Gnostics, the Docetists, the Cerinthians, the New Age, the Zen movement that's coming into the church now, where we're adopting more of the Eastern mystical side of things, it's Christ, it's Jesus that makes the dividing line. What do you believe about Jesus? Jesus says he is the truth. What do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe that he is your Lord? Do you believe that he is your Savior? Do you believe that he came as a man and walked on this earth and showed us about God, that he was crucified, that he died and was buried, he rose again, and because he rose and defeated death, then we now have life everlasting? Do you believe the truth? Or is it something different? You know, that just kind of sounds far-fetched, Paul. I think really what happens is these aliens came down, and after they got finished building the pyramids, they took some of the extra stone and threw it in Stonehenge and kind of set it up funny so people would sit there and scratch going like, where did this come from? You know? And then these aliens are going to come back and take us. You know? Jesus says this in John, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then he tells the people this. He says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Why? Because you have seen me. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what Jesus is saying. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says this at the very beginning. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Okay? God wanted the attention, or God wanted your attention, he would send the Jeremiahs, he would send the Isaiahs, he would send the Hoseas, he would send the Zephaniahs, he would send all of these people, you know, to get your attention. Hey, this is what's going to happen. And sure enough, that's what would happen. He spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, this is what the writer of Hebrews says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, by Jesus Christ, by the words from Jesus Christ, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and he spoke, and these things came on. The Barashit bara Elohim et hashamayim. God, God. And then we see that in John 1, where the Word is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do you believe that? It says, he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He calmed the seas. He calmed the storms. He healed the sick. He made the blind to see. After making purifications for our sins on the cross, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name that he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. He sits at the hand of God, the Father Almighty, and there he judges the living and the dead. And guys, that is the truth. So what is truth? What is truth? Jesus Christ is truth. You want to know the truth? You got to get a good compass. You want to know straight north? You got to get a compass, right? Our compass is the Bible, and it points from Genesis all the way to Revelation to Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And no one comes to the Father except through that. That's your plumb line. That's your measuring stick. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are bombarded with so many ideologies and things that people are trying to get us to believe and get us to do. And Father, we have lost our way. We've become unrighteous. We've become unholy. We've become more secular, more base, more crude. We've taken our eyes off of you, and we've said that, you'll put up with whatever we do because you're a loving God. And Father, you are a loving God, but you are also a righteous God and a holy God. And your scripture tells us over and over again that you will not leave the guilty unpunished. And so, Father, we pray for those that are being blinded by the ways of the world, that are looking at the lights and the shiny and the beautiful things that are they're tempting every single day. Father, help us to realize that life is nothing without Christ. Father, help us to understand that living our lives on our own, it just leads to more emptiness, more bitterness. We never have enough. We're never filled. Father, I pray today that your Spirit would just open up the eyes and the ears and the hearts and the minds of people around this world, that we will begin to fall on our knees and pray to the way and pray to the truth and pray to the life so that we can be sanctified, that we could be made righteous and made holy. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.